How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Yud Gimel, Daf 13 of Masechet Bava Metzia. Friends, let me tell you this. Today's Daf is extremely geschmack. That's all I'll say. All right, we're going to start on Daf Yud Beis and Beis at the Mishnah, about 15 lines from the bottom. Motze Shtori Chov Hua. Fellow finds, a document that says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, and Reuven owes Shimon, he's got to pay him back $1,000. So if a fellow finds a document, he finds such a document. Motzei Shtori Chov, im yesh boyin achrayis nechosim. I feel like I got a mamish pushed through the mush over here. I was just reviewing this daf. It's a very geschmack daf. So you got to just push through that mush. So Motzei Shtori Chov, im yesh boyin achrayis nechosim lo yachzir. Shebezin nefroi men. Ein boyin achrayis nechosim. Yachzir shebezin nefroi men. Divrei Reb Meir. Wow, okay. So Reb Meir said, let's go weiter. V'chacham omim, ben kach uven kach lo yachzir m'pnei shebezin nefroi men. Wow. So, be'etzim a fellow finds a document. The document says, Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. The question is, do you return it to Shimon or not, so that he can collect $1,000 from Reuven? So it depends. Well, first of all, it depends if you're a mayor of the Chacham. If you're the Chacham, then you never return it to Shimon. If you're a mayor, then it depends. So, wow, I'm making this so confusing. How about this? Fellow finds a document that says that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Now, according to Reb Meir, it depends. If the document says that, and if Reuven doesn't pay back Shimon, well then Shimon can collect from Reuven's property, don't return the document to Shimon. Don't give the document to Shimon. However, if the document does not say that, it simply says that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, doesn't say anything about property, so then you can return it to Shimon, and then Shimon can collect from Reuven with the document. According to the Chachamim, however, regardless of if there is achrayis nechosim or not, regardless of whether it says anything about property, don't return it to Shimon. Okay, let's read it again. So a fellow finds a document that says that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. So if in the document it mentions that, and if Reuven doesn't pay back Shimon, he can collect from Nechosim Shubadim, there's a lien on all of Reuven's property. Lo yachzir, don't return the document to Shimon in that case. Shebezin nefroi men, because Bezin is going to collect, I guess, from the Nechosim Shubadim. Ein boyin achrayis nechosim. But if there is no, it doesn't say anything about Nechasim Mishubadim, Yachzir, so then you could return the document to Shimon, She'ein Bezdin Ephraim Men, Divrei Meir, because Bezdin is not going to then collect from Nechasim Mishubadim. I think that's Pshat. They're not going to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim if it doesn't say in the document anything about Nechasim Mishubadim. That's Reb Meir's opinion. Either way, do not return this document to Shimon, whether it says anything about Nechosim Shubadim or not. I think what it's saying is that because either way, Bezdin will still collect from Nechosim Shubadim, even if the document doesn't say anything about Nechosim Shubadim. I think that's Pshat. So you find this document, it says Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Reb Meir says it depends. If it mentions Nechosim Mishubadim, don't return it. If it doesn't say anything about Nechosim Mishubadim, do return it. The Chachamim say, either way, don't return it. Okay. Now, Frekti Gemara b'mai oskinan. So, we're really focused for the first humongous part of the daf. Well, for the first significant part of the daf, it seems like we're dafka focused on Reb Meir's opinion. who makes this distinction between whether the document says anything about nechasim shubadim or not. And so what's the metzias? So what are we talking about over here? But my asking, what are we talking about? Ilema kishechayev mode. If we're talking about a situation where Reuven, who allegedly owes the $1,000 according to the document, if we're talking about where Reuven admits that this is a valid document and that he owes Shimon $1,000. So then, so why are we not returning the document to Shimon when there's achrayis nechasim? Who cares? Reuven admits that it's a valid document. He admits that he owes the money. So let Shimon, so let the finder give the document to Shimon, regardless of if it says anything about nechasim mishubadim. Seems to be a valid document. Give it to Shimon. Hamod, Reuven after all is admitting that he owes the money. V'kshein chayiv mode. And if Reuven denies it and he says this is a fake, it's a forgery. Well then, ki ein ben machayis nechos mama yachzir. Well then, why would you ever return it to Shimon, even when it doesn't say anything about achayis nechosim? You still should not be returning that to Shimon. Because sure, if it doesn't say anything about nechasim shubadim, fine, so then you can't collect from nechasim shubadim, but from property that's available to Reuven that he hasn't sold to anybody, then Shimon would collect from it. But why would we give a document to Shimon that would allow him to collect from Reuven's nechasim shubadim when Reuven is screaming and yelling? I'm sorry, why would we give a document to Shimon that would allow him to collect from Reuven's Nechosim B'nei Chorin when Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery? When you found a document on the street that alleges that Reuven owes $1,000 to Shimon, Reuven's saying it's a forgery. I don't know what you're talking about, but you found a piece of paper on the street, now I owe $1,000 to Shimon. And even so, we give it to Shimon so long as it doesn't say anything about Nechasim Mishubadim. But, I mean, Reuven's still going to be stuck to pay, stuck having to pay. So, le'olam kishechayav mode. So, really, we're talking about when Reuven admits it. Reuven admits it. Chevi, it's a very geshmakada. Reuven admits that he owes Shimon $1,000. Okay, so the question is, return the document to Shimon no matter what, even if there is Shibud Nechosim. And the reason why we don't give the document to Shimon when there is Achrayis Nechosim is the Chayshinon Shema Kosav Lilvos Benissin Velo Lava Ad Tishrei V'osi limitrof likuches shelo kadin. The concern is, yes, Reuven admits that it's a valid document. However, our concern is that the document says that Reuven borrowed the money, meaning if the document has a shibud nechosim, if the document says that there's a lien on Reuven's property until the $1,000 is paid to Shimon, we're concerned that maybe the document says that the loan happened in Nisan, but in fact, in reality, it only happened in Tishrei. And we are going to assume, based on the date that's written in the document, that the lien on Reuven's property is from Nisan, which means that if, during that window between Nisan and Tishrei, Reuven sold property to somebody else, to Levi, to somebody else, well then, Shimon is going to collect that property from, let's say, Levi, because he purchased it after Nisan. But the fact of the matter is, Shimon actually really only paid Reuven in Tishrei later on. And therefore, at that point, there was no lien, right? At the time when Levi purchased the property, from Reuven, there actually was no lien on it because Reuven hadn't actually received the loan yet. So that's our concern. If there's a shibud nechosim, we don't return. So if there's a chayis nechosim, we do not return the document to Shimon, because we're concerned that if the document says that the loan happened in Nisan, well then he's going to collect from property that was sold from Nissan, even though the fact of the matter is that the loan only happened 6 months later in Tishrei. That is our concern. But if there's no achrayis nechosim, and there's no concern about Nisan and Tishrei and collecting from nechosim shubadim, well, okay, Reuven admits that he owes the $1,000 to Shimon. Give the document to Shimon. He'll be able to collect the $1,000 from Reuven or from his, you know, available properties, but he won't be collecting from Levi, who purchased the property from Reuven. So let's read it again inside. So where am I? Le'olam k'shechayiv modeh. Really, it's talking about where Reuven admits that he owes Shimon $1,000 and it's a valid document. The reason why we don't give the document to Shimon when there's a chrayis nechosim, because we're concerned that maybe the document says that the loan was from Nisan, but in practice the loan did not happen ad Tishrei until Tishrei, va'osi limitrof likuchis shelo kadin, and Shimon will use this document to collect from Levi, who purchased property from Reuven after Nisan, but before the actual loan. Ihochi, if that's the case, kol shtari da'asu l'kaman nechush lu'ochi. But frakti gemara, I don't understand. I don't understand. Isn't that the whole point of writing documents and putting dates in documents so that we can trust them and we can rely on them? I don't understand. We have a document here and we're saying, yeah, but we're concerned that we can't trust the date on the document. We can't trust the date on the document. That's the whole point of documents, is that this is official. If the document says Nissan, it's Nissan. Well, I don't understand. If we're going to invalidate this document, we should invalidate every document. So, and for the Gemara, kol shtari lo rei e hani rei. But there's a big difference here. At least the Gemara wants to, right? As far as the Gemara is concerned, there's a big difference here. And the big difference here is that this was found on the floor, on the street. That's the big difference. There's a big difference between Shimon lends Reuven $1,000, they write a document, there's a chrayis nechosim, Shimon takes the document, he goes home, puts it in his safe, and, you know, Reuven doesn't pay him back, so he takes out the document, and now he wants to collect property. Okay, but that's one thing. This is a document that we found on the floor. It's already kind of, what's the deal? Why are we finding a document in the middle of the floor that says that, right in the middle of the street, that says that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and it says they, already we're kind of skeptical and questioning, like, what's the deal with this document? So this document already kind of starts off kind of in a weaker position. And therefore, that's why we have this concern, right? We have this concern that even though it says Nisan, maybe the loan only happened later on in Tishrei, and that's why in this case we have this concern. But in a regular case where it's not a document that we found in the middle of the street, that it's a document that Shimon is coming to court and producing, so of course we could trust that document fully. This is just kind of a sort of more skeptical document to begin with. Okay. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, I think I said yesterday it was going to be a long daf. However, we're still on daf Yud Beis. We're not even on today's daf yet. Yeah, generally it tends to be a big daf when you get to the point where, like, you're way into the daf and you haven't even started today's daf yet. But as I said, it's a very geschmack daf. So I think that's good. El Hoditznan Givaldik. There's a Mishnah in Bava Basra, a Mishnah in Bava Basra. Kosvin shtar lilove afalpi she'ein malve imo. That the Mishnah in Bava Basra says that that you are allowed to write a document even though the malve is not there, right? So the love, the borrower, could write a document that says that he owes Shimon, right? Reuven could write a document that says that he owes Shimon $1,000, even though Shimon is not there. Which means that obviously if Shimon's not there, Shimon isn't lending him the money right now. So when's the loan happening? I don't know. So Ditznan Kosvin Shtar Lilove Afalpisha in Malva Imo, that you can write a document for a borrower that says that he owes Shimon, for Reuven, that says that he owes Shimon $1,000, even though Shimon isn't there. Which means that obviously at the time of the writing of the document, that is not the time that Shimon is actually lending the money. But l'chatchila eichi kosvinu, how do we write this such a document? Obviously, shouldn't Nechu Shema Kosov Lilvos Benissin Vilalova Atishrei? Shouldn't we be concerned, the concern that we have right now, which is we're writing a document that says that Reuven's borrowing $1,000 from Shimon, and we're writing Nisan in it, but Shimon isn't here, which means that obviously Shimon is not lending him the money right now. Shouldn't we be concerned that maybe the document says Nisan, but the loan is only happening 6 months later in Tishrei? Vasil Mitrov Lekuche Shelo Kedin, and this exact concern that we have now, that Shimon's going to use this document to collect property from Levi, who purchased from Reuven after Nisan, but before Tishrei? Omrev Asi is such a geshmak edaf. Amam is screaming and yelling. We're finally getting up to Daf Yud Gimel. Amam is using all my koiches over here. I already need a drink, and we're just getting up to today's Daf Chaver. This is going to be a piece of work, and it's going to be great. Rav Asi says, Rav Asi, b'shtarei haknoya dehoshi beid nafshei. Interesting. I don't get it, really. Apparently, I'm not the only one who doesn't get it. Rashi, apparently, I looked at the note in the article. Apparently, the Rashi Asang Rashi, like, this doesn't really, I don't understand why anybody would do this, but apparently there's some kind of concept, at least seemingly this is what it is according to at least this Rashi, that you could, Reuven could like write a document in which he is puts a lien on his property, even if Shimon were to not lend him any money, Reuven would still be mechayev himself to pay Shimon to be raised, right, Meshabed is property from today, from Nissan. So it's a document that says that from Nissan, Reuven has a lien on his property to Shimon unless he pays Shimon $1,000. And even if Shimon never lends Reuven $1,000, Reuven still has to pay Shimon $1,000 and there's a lien on his property for it. So in such a case where the lien on the property is completely separate from any actual loan, well, then obviously we're not concerned about Nissan and Tishrei, because the whole point is that maybe they wrote Nissan and there was a lien on the property from Nissan, but the loan only happened in Tishrei, and that's a problem. But if we're saying that it's a document in which Reuven is mechayev himself to pay Shimon $1,000 or else there's a lien on his property regardless of any loan that Shimon may or may not give him, well, then the whole Nissan and Tishrei thing doesn't matter. So therefore, that Mishnah in Bava Basra, which says that Reuven can have this document written in which he's mechayev himself $1,000 to Shimon, even though Shimon isn't there, it's because it's talking about a shtar hakno'a, which in which the loan itself is actually doesn't actually affect the lien. However, this would not be able to go down in for a regular shtar milva, for a regular loan document. In that case, you would need Shimon to be there, and what would happen is Shimon would lend Reuven $1,000, and we would document that at the time so that we know that the time written in the document is the time of the actual loan, because in general we would have to be concerned about the Nisan Tishrei situation. In general, we would not write a document that says that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000 if Shimon wasn't actually giving him the $1,000 right now. So now the Gemara asks the most moridic akasha, the most gewaldig akasha. Ihochi, if this is the case, that the Mishnah in Bava Basra, which says that Reuven can have this document written even without Shimon there, that's only by this shtar hakno where the loan itself is irrelevant. But by a regular loan, such as the loan in our Mishnah, it would have to be at the time of the loan. Well, I guess we haven't necessarily confirmed yet that that's what our Mishnah is talking about. But basically, how about this? such a geshmak akasha, and I feel like I'm butchering it. Let's read it inside. Ihochi. If this is the case, that the Mishnah in Bava Basra is talking about, right, where Reuven can write a document without Shimon, is talking about, by this interesting Shtar HaKnoah thing, Masnis in our Mishnah then, Dikatoni, which teaches, Im Yesh Boyen Achrayis Nechosim Lo Yachzir, that if there is Achrayis Nechosim, do not give the document to Shimon. And we say that it's talking about where Reuven admits that he borrowed money from Shimon and that he owes Shimon $1,000. Umishum shema kosav lilvos benisin vilo lavad tishrei. And we're concerned that, well, don't return the document to Shimon because maybe Reuven borrowed. Maybe it says that there's lien on Reuven's property from Nissan, but in fact the loan only happened in Tishrei. And then Shimon may end up taking property from Levi, you know, improperly, because Levi purchased it before the time of the loan. But amai lo yachzir. I don't understand. Why can't we return this document to Shimon? Ibishtar Hakno, because if the document that was found is this Shtar Hakno, which is, you know, regardless of the actual loan, there would be a lien on Reuven's property from Nissen. Well then, Hashi Beidle Nafshe. Return the document to Shimon. I don't know what I just said, but there would be a lien on Reuven's property from Nissen. So return the document to Shimon. If it's a Shtar Hakno, return it to Shimon, because after all, Reuven was Meshabed his property regardless. Ibishtar Dilo Akno, and if it is a Shtar that is not a Shtar Akno, well, you would have to, that can only be written if at the time of the loan. Right? Because we said, writing a document for Reuven without Shimon is only by Shtar Akno. Which means a regular loan document, Reuven and Shimon would both have to be there, and it would be at the time of the loan, which means that you can assume that if it says Nissen, the loan happened in Nissen, so this whole Nissen Tishrei thing is a non-starter, it's not a question. What a geshmak akasha. So b'shtar de lo akno, if it's not a shtar akno, leko lemeichash, then there shouldn't be this concern about Nissen and Tishrei. They are amart, because after all we said, ki leko malve baide, if Shimon isn't there, lo kasvinun, then you don't write the document. You're only going to write the loan document at the time of the loan, which therefore means if it says Reuven, what? If it says Nissen, that's when the loan happened. Oh, this is so geschmack. Oh my gosh, Chevre, it's like, oh. Is there anything more geschmack than this, Chevre? Name me one thing. One thing. You can't do it. Wow. Wow. Sorry. Oh my gosh. I feel like maybe some people, when they eat something special, they like my nephew Barak, he goes into this like food coma when he's eating probably like very, very, very sweet candy. His like eyes roll to the back of his head and he's just like in his own world. Chever. Oh, what a kasha. So Rav Asi will respond to you. So then what is the concern in the Mishnah? Then what is the concern in the Mishnah? So what is the concern? Why are we concerned about Nissan and Tishrei? Afagav the shtare delav hakno. So even though, yes, we're not talking about a shtar hakno, and yes, we're talking about a regular document, and yes, Shimon would have to be there, and it would be have to be at the time of the loan. But every rule is meant to be broken. Kileka malve bade lo kasvinun. Right? So Avagad the story de lava kno, kileka malve bade lo kasvinun. Even though in general we wouldn't write the document without Shimon, nonetheless, Masnisen came in the nafal, since at the talk, since the fact of the matter is, our Mishnah to begin with is talking about a weird situation, a situation where you found this document in the middle of the street. Israel, to begin with, it's already kind of weird. V'chayshinon, Dilma Ikre V'chosuv, and once already we're dealing with weird situations, we're concerned also that maybe in this weird document that you found in the street, maybe it just so happened to have been written by Reuven without Shimon, and therefore we have to be concerned about the Nisan Tishrei situation. Wow. Abaye, Omar says Abaye. Abaye says no. Abaye says that the Mishnah in Bava Basra, which talks about Reuven writing a document, a loan document, without Shimon being there, i.e. it's not at the time of the loan, it could even be for a regular document. It doesn't have to be by Shtar Akno. It could be by any loan document. Reuven can write a document that says that he owes Shimon $1,000. That he borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, he owes him $1,000. By Omer Eda Bachasumov, Zochin Lo, look, if you have a document, and there are witnesses signed on the document, and it says that there's a lien on Reuven's property because he borrowed money from Shimon and Nissen, well then that's what we go by. If the witnesses are signed on a document that has the date of Nissen, well, that's what we care about. Even not this Shtar Akno thing, by regular document. Mishum de Kashile, because after all, Abaye took seriously this question that came into Omad Bishtari de Lavakno Kilesi Lamavabade Lokos Vinon, right? Because Abaye took very seriously the question that was asked on Rav Asi, that Rav Asi, if Shimon is absent, then we will not write this document. Then I don't write meaning, or how about this? Rav Asi, if the document must be written at the time of the loan, then I don't understand why you have this concern about Nisan and Tishrei. Right? That was that. So Rav Asi said, well, maybe it can happen. Abaye said, I don't know about maybe it can happen. You know, therefore, he wasn't so happy with that. Therefore, Abaye says that, you can write a document, Reuven can write the document without Shimon, and the fact of the matter is, if witnesses sign on a document that says Nissen, we go by Nissen. Right? So, Abaye says, come on, I'm not into this. Well, maybe they wrote the document anyways without Shimon, even though they're not allowed to. That was what Rav Asi said. Abaye is not into it. Elohodetnan, okay, but what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah in a few days that says, Motzo Gite Noshim V'Shechuri Avodim, a fellow finds a writ of divorce, Shechuri Avodim, or a document that says that Avodim go free. Daitike, a will, a document that's going to be given to somebody that a person on his deathbed is going to give him all sorts of things. Matona, a gift, V'Shovrim, receipts. Hareze Lo Yachzir, don't return them. Shemaksuvim Oyu V'Nim Nachaleim, maybe they were written, but then the writer, the one who wrote them, changed his mind. So don't give them to the recipient. That he changed his mind not to give them. So therefore we don't give them. Because maybe the person who wrote it changed his mind. But v'chinim l'chalei ma'havi, I don't understand. I don't understand. We have a document with witnesses signed, and we're not going to deliver it to the recipient? Because maybe the person who wrote them changed his mind. For all my day, the v'chasum of zochin lo. If we have a document that has witnesses, we trust it. That's the way these documents work. You have a document with witnesses, you go, it's valid. We've been learning Bava Kama, we know witnesses in Jewish law, witnesses are the be-all, end-all. If you have witnesses, it's done. Done deal. So if you have a document that has witnesses, you go, but it's a valid document. That's that. You give it to the recipient. I don't know, maybe the person who wrote it changed his mind. That's not how this works. Look, once the document has reached, I think this is what it means. Once the document has reached the recipient, so at that point, we go based on the witnesses, right? And we're not concerned about, maybe different dates and things. But where the document has not yet reached the recipient, lo amina, then we don't yet say, then we're just going to go based on the witnesses. If the document has not yet reached the witnesses, what? If the document has not yet reached the recipient, well, then we could still maybe be concerned that whether the person who wrote it changed his mind. But once it reaches the recipient, then we definitely follow the documents entirely. Elamasnizin de katoni. Okay. Now, our Mishnah, though, that says, Motzu shtarichov. Our Mishnah, of course, said, a fellow finds a loan document. Well, a document. Im yesh bo machayis l'chosim lo yachzir. If in the document it says that if Reuven doesn't pay back Shimon, then right, there's a lien on his property. V'ukimna kishachayev modeh, and we're saying that it's talking about where Reuven admits that he owes the money. That he borrowed money from Shimon, and that it's a valid document. U'mishum shema kosov lilvos benisim v'leilovad tishrei, and we said that what's the scenario? Well, we're concerned that maybe he borrowed in Nisan, maybe the document says Nisan, but in fact the loan happened in Tishrei. That's what we said. So this makes sense according to Rav Asi, who said that we're concerned that maybe even though you're not supposed to write the document without Shimon there, maybe you did, and therefore maybe when it says, there's a possibility that even though it says Nisan, the loan really happened in Tishrei. So B'Shem the Rav Asi, I understand according to Rav Asi, the Omar B'Shtari Aknaisa, who says that the Mishnah in Bava Basra is talking about Shtar Akno and Mukila, and he establishes our Mishnah B'Shtari Delav Akno, Aknaisa, that is by a regular loan document, Uchida Amrinon, and as we explained earlier, that even though it shouldn't be written without Shimon, maybe it was written without Shimon, and we're concerned about Nisan and Tishrei. But Elala Abaye, but according to Abaye, Domer Eda Bachasum of Zochin, though, that we go entirely based on the, you know, this document that has witnesses on it. So I don't understand. Reuven admits that he borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. We find a document with witnesses on it that says that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon in Nisan. So done deal. We should return the document to Shimon. Ma'ika Lememar. Where am I? Ma'ika Lememar. Why don't we return the document to Shimon? Because we go based on the witnesses that are signed on it. And it says Nisan. So Omalach Abaye. Abaye will respond. Masnisan hainu taimo dechayshinon lefeiroon vilakanunyo. The reason why we don't return it is because we're concerned that Reuven and Shimon are schemers. They're running a scheme. The scheme is the following. They write a document that says that Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. Okay, Shimon lends Reuven $1,000. They have a document written up. And it says that if Reuven doesn't pay back Shimon $1,000, so then Shimon can take Reuven's property. There's a lien on Reuven's property. Reuven then pays back Shimon the $1,000. Okay, now they're even. Shimon lent Reuven $1,000. He paid it back. But what they're going to do is, now in the meantime, right, it says Nisan. So in the meantime, Reuven had, I guess regardless of the date, in the meantime, Reuven had sold property to Levi. And Levi purchases property without a warranty, without achrayus, meaning that if anything happens to this property, he cannot go back to Reuven and say, "Hey, you need to give me my money back." No, Levi purchased the property from Reuven without a warranty, without a guarantee. So the scheme is, Shimon lends $1,000 to Reuven. They have a document written up that if Reuven doesn't pay back Shimon, Shimon can collect from Reuven's property. Reuven then sells property to Levi with a lien on it, and he sells it without any guarantee. Reuven then pays back Shimon. Shimon then goes and says to Levi, "Hey Levi, I lent Reuven $1,000, he didn't pay me back. I'm taking his property," and Levi's stuck, and they split the property between Reuven and Shimon, split the property between themselves. So Abai says we're concerned about a scheme. If there's achrayis nechasim, right? You find this document that says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000, and Reuven says, yeah, it's correct, it's true. I borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. Well, if there's achrayis nechasim, we don't give it to Shimon because we're concerned that maybe they have some kind of a scheme going on where they're basically going to kick Levi off of his property and then they're going to split the property between themselves. Ulishmuel de Omar lo chai shinon lefeiron vila kanunyo. But what about according to Shmuel, who assumes that a document is, once it gets paid, it's immediately torn up, and we're not concerned that that you're going to find the document that that still needs to be paid, and he's not concerned about, you're not going to find a document that has already been paid, right? So Shmuel is not concerned about documents that have already been paid and about these schemes. Well, if that's the case, Ma'ika l'meimar, then how does he understand our Mishnah? Anicha yisavar lei k'rav Asi. Well, okay, if he holds like Rav Asi, so then beseder. So the concern is that the Nisan Tishrei thing. So the Amar b'shtari aknoya mukimas Nisan. Wait, what? Okay, fine. Or Muki, whatever. Right, so if Shmuel holds like Rav Asi, who says that the Mishnah in Bava Basra is talking about Shtar Aknoa, and Masnisin B'Shtari Delav Aknoa, and our Mishnah is talking about a regular Shtar, and we're concerned about the whole Nisin Tishrei thing. So B'Seder, okay, so Shmuel holds like Rav Asi. But Eli Yisover Kabaye, but if Shmuel holds like Abaye, Domer Eda Bachasum of Zochinlo, who says that we trust the witnesses that are on the document, and then so the question is then why don't you return the document to Shimon? Well, because we're concerned about a scheme. Well, if you're Shmuel and you're not concerned about this scheme, well then why not return the document to Shimon? So Shmuel muki lemasnisin k'she'ein chayev moda. Ooh. Hoo-hoo. So we've been assuming until now that the Mishnah is talking about Kishachayev Moda when Reuven admits that he owes the money to Shimon, that he borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, that he owes $1,000 to Shimon. Shmuel now says, no, the Mishnah is talking about where Reuven does not admit that he owes $1,000 to Shimon. He denies owing $1,000 to Shimon. He denies owing $1,000 to Shimon. So if that's the case, then why do we give the document to Shimon when there's no achrayis nechasim? Yehochi, if that's the case, ki ein boi achrayis nechasim, when there's no achrayis nechasim, amai yachzer, why then do we return the document to Shimon when Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery? Nehidelo gabi min mishabde, granted that even if the document doesn't say anything about a lien on property, so granted, Shimon won't be able to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim, but mi b'nei chorin, mi b'nei gabi, but he'll still be able to collect from Nechasim b'nei chorin. So why give the document to Shimon when Reuven's screaming and yelling that it's a forgery? So Shmuel l'taimei de Omar Shmuel. Well, Shmuel says, Omer hoy Reb Meir, that Reb Meir would say, Shtarchov she'ein bo achrayis nechosim ein gove lo mi meshabde velo mi bnei chore. Well, Shmuel Taka holds that this document that doesn't mention anything about a lien on property, well, then that cannot be collected from anything. Can't be collected at all. Not from nechosim meshubadim, not from nechosim bnei chore. Now, if I understand correctly, if he admits that he owes the money, if Reuven admits that he owes the money, well then it can be collected from Nechasim B'nei Chorin, I think. We're talking about a scenario where Reuven denies that he owes any money, and there's this document that says that he owes $1,000 to Shimon, but there's nothing about a lien on property. So long as Reuven denies it, that document cannot be used to collect from Reuven, not Nechasim Shabbatim, not Nechasim Lechorin. And therefore, so Shmuel says that the Mishnah is talking about where Reuven denies it. And therefore you can get, and so if it's, So if it's nechas, if there's shibud nechasim, then you would not give it to Shimon. But if there's no achrayis nechasim, so then you can give it to Shimon because Shimon can't collect with it anyways for Reuven. Well, then if Shimon can't actually collect with the document, then what's the point of giving it to him? Well, Shimon can use it to, like, you know, cork his wine bottle. Shel malve, right? Shimon can use it to cork his wine bottle. Why not give it to the love and let him, why not give it to Reuven and let Reuven cork his wine bottle? So love, well, Reuven screaming and yelling and saying this is a complete forgery. So, I mean, I don't know, I guess we're not giving, he's completely separating himself from this document, so we're not going to give it to him. But we can give it to Shimon to use as a, to cork his bottle. Wow, my brain is starting a shtickel to turn to mush. But Cheva, at this point, more than 4 years into Babylon Talmud, when we've learned all sorts of complicated things, we've learned to push through the mush, which is what we're going to do right now. Wow. Stuff really requires a lot of energy. A lot of energy. It's very, very geschmack though. And we still, Chevre, we still have more work to do. Okay. Now, we are going to see a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. And it's going to be geschmack. The machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan is about, is this machlokas in our Mishnah b'shechai of Modeh, when Reuven admits it? That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Or is the machlokas in our Mishnah b'she'ein chai of Modeh, when Reuven denies it? That's what Rabbi Lazar says. Rabbi Lazar says that the machlokas in our Mishnah is when Reuven denies it, which we said is also how Shmuel learns our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, like we've been saying most of the time, is that the machlokas in the Mishnah is when Reuven admits that he owes the money to Shimon. The machlokas between Reb Meir, who we've basically been discussing until now, and the Chachomim. Here we go. Omar, Rabbi Lazar says, Rabbi Lazar, machlokas b'she'ein chayev modeh. The machlokas between Reb Meir and the Chachomim is when Reuven denies the $1,000 claim. Okay, when he denies it. Okay, he denies it. All right, fine, he denies it. Okay. The Reb Meir suffer, the Reb Meir holds. So what is, no, who could tell me, what does Reb Meir hold? Reb Meir holds, well, okay, so he denies it. So if you have a document that has a achrayis nechasim, so obviously you're not going to give it, right? He denies it, you're obviously not going to give a document with a achrayis nechasim to Shimon, when Reuven's screaming and yelling that it's a forgery. But if it does not have achrayis nechasim, so then you can give it to Shimon, as Shmuel just said, that according to Reb Meir, if a document that does not have achrayis nechasim, and Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery, you cannot collect from nechasim shubadim, nor from nechasim b'nei chorin. So therefore, return it to Shimon, why not? The Chachamim, however, say that even a document that does not have nechasim mishubad, that does not have achrayis nechasim, can be collected, can be used to collect from nechasim mishubadim. We're going to see machlokas that we've seen in the past. I believe we're going to see it tomorrow. That according to the Chachamim, achrayus tohu sofer, that if you have a document that does not have achrayus nechasim, it's a mistake. The scribe made a mistake. Of course the document needs to have achrayus nechasim, and even if it doesn't say anything about achrayus nechasim, you can still collect from nechasim mishubadim. Therefore, the Chachamim say that if Reuven, according to Rabbi Lazar, the Chachamim's opinion is that if Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery, do not, under any circumstances, give this document to Shimon. Because even if there's no achrayis nechasim, he could still use it to collect from nechasim mishubadim. So let's read it inside. Omer Blaz says, Blaz machlokas b'she'ein chayev modeh. The machlokas is when Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery. The Reb Meir Savar, Rav Meir holds shtar she'ein b'achrayus nechasim eino goved lo mi mishabdev lo mi b'nei chore, that a document that does not have achrayus nechasim, well, it can't be used then to collect, obviously not from nechasim mishabdim, nor from nechasim b'nei chore, so long as Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery. Rabbanan Savir, whereas the rabbis say, it doesn't say this here, but I'm telling you, the reason is because of Achrayus Tahu Sofer, that if it doesn't say anything about Achrayus Nechasim, it's a mistake. But every document, every loan document would be able to be collected from Nechasim Shubadim. So, Rabbanan Savir, Migba Gabi, that it would be able to be collected from Nechasim Mishubadim, and therefore, you cannot, under any circumstances, give this document back, give this to Shimon, so long as Reuven is screaming and yelling. Aval, kishechayev mode, but if Reuven admits that it's a valid document, so of course give it back to Shimon under any situation. Of course you can give the document back to Shimon, even if there's a achrayus nechasim, and we're not concerned that maybe there's some kind of a scheme going on. Rabbi Yochanan Omer says, Rabbi Yochanan, machlokes kishechayev mode. The machlokes is fakir to Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yochanan says, the machlokes is davka when Reuven admits that he owes the money. He admits that he owes the money. And therefore, when there's achrayis nechasim, so we're concerned about trickery, about some kind of a scheme. But if there's no achrayis nechasim, So if there's no achrayis nechasim, so then okay, so b'seder, so right. So Reuven is admitting that he owes the money. There's no achrayis nechasim, so it can be returned to Shimon, and he can collect from Reuven from nechasim b'nei chorin. But of course, the rabbis say that either way it would be able to be collected from nechasim mishubadim, and therefore you cannot return this to Shimon under any circumstances, right? So Rabbi Yochanan Omer says, Rabbi Yochanan, machlokes kishechayev mode. The machlokes is when Reuven admits that he borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, that he owes $1,000 to Shimon. To Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds, shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim, mi mishabdehu delo gabi, aval mi bnei chore migbo gabi. That Rabbi Meir says, look, Reuven admits that he owes $1,000. If it's a document that has achrayis nechasim, don't return it to Shimon because we're concerned about a scheme. But if there's no achrayis nechasim, return it, and Reuven and Shimon will collect from Reuven's nechasim b'nei chorin. Rabbanan Savir, whereas the rabbis told me mishabdei nami gobi, that do not return the document to Shimon, because even a document that does not have achrayis nechasim can still be collected from nechasim mishubadim. Havok she'ein chayev mode, but if Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery, devrakol lo yachzir, then do not return it. The Chashin and the Pharaoh, and the reason why, I think Pshat is, and the reason why when Reuven admits it, we still do not return it to Shimon when there is Achrayis Nechasim, because we're concerned about that. The Chashin and the Pharaoh, if Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying it's a forgery, we do not return it to Shimon because we are concerned that Reuven has already paid it back. Okay, fine. Now, Tanya, and this is kind of going to take us towards the end of the daf. Tanya Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan. We are now going to bring a brisa. This brisa that we're going to bring supports Rabbi Yochanan 100%. And it's a kasha on Rabbi Lazar in one way. And it's a kasha on Shmuel in two ways. Here is the price. Motza shtar chov. Somebody finds a document. And the document mentions that there is a lien on Reuven's property. Af al pi shashnei hem modim. Even though both Reuven and Shimon admit that Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, lo yach zir lolozeh v'lolozeh, do not return this document to either one, seemingly because we're concerned about this trickery. Ein boyin achrayus nechosim. If there is no lien on Reuven's property, well then, bizman sha love mode, if Reuven admits that he owes the money, well then, yachzir lamalva, give the document to Shimon, and then Shimon can use it, right? If Reuven admits that he owes the money, so then Shimon, if there's no lien on Reuven's property, so Shimon can use this document then to collect his money from Reuven. Ein alove mode, but if Reuven is screaming and yelling and selling it, saying it's a forgery, lo yachzir lalazir lalazir, then don't return it to anybody. Divrei Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion, that there is this distinction when chayev mode, when Reuven admits it, there's a distinction between versus no achrayis nechasim. But if Reuven is screaming and yelling, then do not give it to Shimon in any situation. Shehoi Rav Meir, would say shtar ichov sheish boim achrayis nechasim, that if you have a shtar ichov that has achrayis nechasim, gov nechasim mishubadim, then you would collect from nechasim mishubadim. V'shein bo achrayis nechasim, and if there's no achrayis nechasim, gov nechasim b'nei chorin, you would then collect from nechasim b'nei chorin, because he does not say achrayus tohus sofer. Right? If a document does not mention nechasim mishubadim, so then it can only be collected from nechasim b'nei chorin. And I understand that this is talking about when Reuven admits that he owes the money. So if it's a document that does not have achrayus nechasim, so it can only be collected from nechasim b'nei chorin. V'chacham omim. The Chachamim say that in a scenario where Reuven admits that he owes the money and the document does not have achrayis nechasim, still the document cannot be given to Shimon, because even a document that does not have achrayis nechasim can still be collected from nechasim mishubadim. The Chachamim omim echod zeh ve'echod zeh gove minchasim mishubadim, that whether it has achrayis nechasim or not, it can still be collected from nechasim mishubadim, and therefore do not return this document to Shimon, because we're concerned about the scheme. Tiyuvta de Rabbi Elazar b'chado. Now this is a kasha on Rabbi Elazar in one way. The Rabbi Elazar says, the Rabbi Meir, that according to Rabbi Meir, shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim eino gove minchasim mishubadim v'lo minchasim b'nei chorin. The Rabbi Elazar had said that according to Rabbi Meir, a shtar she'ein bo achrayis cannot be used to collect neither from nechasim mishubadim nor from nechasim b'nei chorin. Vika Amar, and Rabbi Elazar also said, bein the Rabbi Meir, bein the Rabbanon, lo chashin l'kanunya, that both according to Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon, we are not concerned about scheming. And yet, uvraisa katani, our Braisa teaches, shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim mi mishabdehu delo gabi ha mi b'nei chorin migba gabi. But the Braisa says that a document that does not have achrayis nechasim can be collected from nechasim b'nei chorin, just not from nechasim mishubadim. So Rabbi Elazar had said that if there's no achrayis nechasim, it cannot be collected from neither, from neither nechasim mishubadim nor from nechasim b'nei chorin. Yet the Braisa is saying that if there's no achrayis nechasim, so it cannot be collected from nechasim mishubadim, but it can be collected from nechasim b'nei chorin. And secondly, v'katani bein le Rabbi Meir bein le Rabbanon chashinu l'kanunya. And the Braisa says that both according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbanon, we're concerned about this scheme. V'katani, as it says, afal pisha shnei modim, that even when Reuven, and obviously Shimon, admit that Reuven owes $1,000 to Shimon, lo yachzir, do not return this document that has achrayis nechasim to Shimon, lo lazev, amachashin lekanunya, because we're concerned about this scheming. V'ahani taitehu. So understand, we said that there's one kasha in Rabbi Elazar, yet we asked two kashas in Rabbi Elazar. One from the fact that Rabbi Elazar says that shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim cannot be collected neither from nechasim mishubadim nor from nechasim b'nechorim, yet the Mishnah says it cannot be collected from nechasim mishubadim, but it can be collected from nechasim b'nei chorin when it does not have achrayis nechasim. And question number two is that Rabbi Elazar is not concerned about kanunya, and the Braisa is concerned about kanunya. So I understand why we're saying there's one kasha on Rabbi Elazar, yet we're asking two kashas on him. Vani taitei, we asked two kashas. Chada hu No, it's really one thing. The chatam who dimshum the kamar balazer machalgus b'shin chayiv mode who mitar tzochi. No, really, it's one thing because it all stems from the fact that Rabbi Elazar says that the machlokis is when Reuven is screaming and yelling and saying that it's a forgery. That meaning, once Reuven is screaming and yelling, well, that is why Rabbi Elazar says that shtash ein ba'achrayis nechasim cannot be collected at all, not from nechasim mishabadim nor from nechasim b'dechorin, because Reuven is screaming and yelling. If Reuven admitted that he owed the $1,000, well then, of course, Reuven can collect it. He would collect from nechasim b'dechorin, just not from nechasim mishabadim. So, the reason why Rabbi Elazar says that it cannot be collected from either one is because Reuven is screaming and yelling, and also because Reuven is screaming and yelling, that is also why we're not concerned about the scheme, right? The scheme is when Reuven admits it, and maybe they are gonna, admits it's a real document, and therefore Shimon's gonna collect with it from Nechasim Mishubadim. But if Reuven is screaming and yelling, then we're not concerned about scheming in that context. Okay, fine. So it all stems from the fact that Rabbi Elazar says the machlokes is when Reuven is screaming and yelling. All right, we're almost done. Mom, just a few more minutes. Tuvta l'Shmuel b'tarte. There's two kashas on Shmuel. Well, chada Rabbi Elazar. Well, the first question is like Rabbi Elazar. Damuki masisim shein chayv mode. So question number one is that we had said that according to Shmuel, it feels like ages ago, but we had said according to Shmuel, right, that Shmuel is not concerned about peiron. So then, how does he explain the Mishnah, if he wants to hold like Abaye? Well, he says that the Mishnah is talking about not where Reuven admits it, like we had initially been assuming at the first segment of this daf, but actually Shmuel says that it's talking about where Reuven denies it and he's screaming and yelling, just like Rabbi Elazar. So question number one on Shmuel is the same question that we asked on Rabbi Elazar about the fact that he says that the machlokes is when Reuven is screaming and yelling. And question number two, v'chadad amr Shmuel, that Shmuel says, motza shtar aknoya bashuk, that if a person finds this shtar, a shtar aknoya in Shuk Machne Yehuda, yachzir lebalim, he returns it to Shimon, v'lo chaisin in lefeiron, we're not concerned that Reuven has already paid it back. Tiyuvta, and it's akasha, and this price is akasha on Shmuel, dekatani ocha, because it says over here, afal pi, sheshnei emodim, even though both of them admit that, wait, so what? Meaning Shmuel says that we're not concerned that it's already been paid back, and this our brisa says that even though both of them, Reuven admits that he owes the money, lo yachzir lelozev lelozev, the document should not be concerned. The document should not be returned. Alma chashin el feiron, because we're concerned that maybe it has already been paid back. V'chol shekein hocha delo, right, and then certainly in the scenario where Reuven is screaming and yelling, delo mode love de chashin el feiron. Certainly, then where Reuven is screaming and yelling, we would be concerned that maybe Itak already paid it back. Sheesh, that was daf Yud Gimel Masechta Bava Metzia. Wow, it was so geschmack. We talked about if you find this document on the street, and we say if there's a chayis machlokes between Rav Meir, who makes a distinction between if there's a chayis nechasim or not, Chacham say that either way you don't return it, and we try to figure out, we're talking about where Reuven admits that he owes the money, where he denies that he owes the money. Rav Asi, Abaye, Shmuel, Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan, the Braisa. That was some daft. Peace out.